So the fraud charges against a colored teacher who identified himself as African in a job application have been dropped. Glenn Sneyman, my namesake, who is a teacher in the Western Cape, was facing the charges because he said he was African in an application for a principal position. We now speak to Sarah Gone, Head of Strategic Engagement at the Institute of Race Relations. Good afternoon to you, Sarah.
Hi, hello.
Good to have you on the show.
Thank you.
So, Sarah, what were your first impressions when you came across this story?
My first impression was that it actually, I thought, here we go. We this crystallizes the whole issue of race classification.
Yeah.
And obviously, it goes to it in the context of BEE, and this does have an indirect, direct application. But it for me, it kind of said immediately, this is a there is a problem with classification.
Mm.
It harks too much back to the apartheid era and the horrors of the Population Registration Act. And the problem we've had here in sort of the period of democracy is that we don't have any legislation that sets out how you classify race, other than to say, you can self-identify, but these are the categories that will receive preference. And so you have a gap in that classification, and I'm sure the gap's there because it was the bedrock of apartheid.
Because, I always thought that any person who's born in South Africa, who is in South Africa, is African.
Mm. Well, there's the debate, because technically, you're correct. We are, whether we like it or not.
Yes.
Some people may feel that only certain people should be able to call themselves Africans. But
yeah.
In calling yourself African, it would be actually no different to calling yourself an Englishman or an American or a Venezuelan. Everything has to do with your, that you are the citizen of a country or you were born in a country.
Yeah. Is there any authority in South Africa that decides which race a person identifies as to, or do people self-classify themselves?
Yeah. Well, there is no authority or legislation that sets that out.
Mm.
So it is up to people to self-classify. The problem, of course, comes in is, so for example, I know my son once went for a job and the person said, please tell me that you're colored, because obviously he was white, so they couldn't employ more white people, and it got very, very strange.
Mm.
But ultimately the decision was in the hands of the potential employer.
Mm.
And the same would go on here, but I think it's because it's come up so much recently in the DA has adopted policy based on non-racialism. It's very, very pertinent to now.
Mm.
And how do you decide? Do you look at the person's name? Do you look at his face or his head? It's very, very problematic and can in some instances be really insulting.
So is it still important to label or classify people from racial groups?
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't think so. We have all, the Institute has always gone on a non-racial platform. We do believe that the one area where racial classification has merit is simply as statistical information. So that when you gather numbers and you do research, you can see whether groups, communities, populations have advanced or not advanced, or where their problem areas. But it should be, to our view, it should be no more than that.
Mm.
In other words, if somebody applies for a job, you interview them and decide on their merits. You may have a variety of factors to take into account, but you don't automatically exclude just by what somebody may or may not say on an application form or a piece of paper. And it's interesting. My other son's got a friend who, by his name and his appearance, he looks like a black kid. He is black, But if you talk to him and get to know him, you would easily believe or assume that he's not if you don't see him. So, you know, you get into all those horrid messes of association that I don't think the society needs. I think there are many other ways to determine whether a community or group of people needs uplifting or not.
I guess it's only the police who are allowed to do that when they want to identify someone, be it a criminal.
Look, but you see, again, when they do identify, they're setting out physical characteristics. So, you know, I mean, we've seen it a large in sort of crises that have happened in America. But you can't. I mean, if you, for example, don't say that I'm a white middle-aged woman, then if you don't say woman, then you're looking for white middle-aged men or women. So it's purely a descriptor. And to use it as descriptive in those specific circumstances, again, don't per se, I don't think present problems. It's when you actually require someone to define themselves, or you hope that they'll define themselves in a certain way, and their description doesn't actually bear any relevance to what you're looking for. The description of them is irrelevant.
So
it's what they offer up.
So the Western Cape Education Department has decided to drop the fraud charges against the teacher. What would have been the chances of this case succeeding had the case gone ahead?
I think they would have. It would have been very poor because, you see, obviously, if you're charging someone with fraud, it's a criminal charge, so the burden of proof is very high on the department. And if he puts up, and being someone who's sort of been protesting for not applying race classification, he could put up a very good case because. There is no, there is practice, but there is no law that favours the government to argue with, and let me put it this way: if I were in the department, I would do what Debbie Schaff has done, and I would just withdraw the charge. Also, you know, from the Western Cape point of view, it's run by the DA, and the DA has now put its, you know, position as being one of non-racialism. And it has to follow that position and not be embarrassed by anyone who contradicts that position.
And your thoughts on how the Western Cape Department dealt with the issue?
Look, I think the NEC dealt with it. She dealt with it quickly and she dealt with it decisively. I can't quite tell. I know the Mr. Snyman comes from Oudtshoorn, but I can't ascertain whether. It was, you know, which element of the department, you know, decided on this, whether it was seen by someone in Cape Town or someone in Oudtshoorn. So one can't really tell whether it was personal, whether it was just procedural, or whether someone just made a very bad judgment call. Unfortunately, that's very, very difficult to tell. But what the MEC Schaffer had to do is what she did, and that is, you know, put an end to it.
Sarah, thank you so much for chatting to us on the Glenzito Superdrive on Radio 2000. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Excellent. There you go. Sarah Gonde, Head of Strategic Engagement at the IRR. So.